I want first to thank the ladies for their ministry of music, and perhaps I'm a little biased because my own sweet wife is one of those who shared her talent. But they sang today with the good spirit, and they sang just now the message that we're going to talk about today, about the good shepherd and how he provides for our needs. I'm very happy to be here today for many reasons. One of which is because I believe this is a very special place. I have to tell you that if I were to list off descriptions of myself, an outdoor person is probably one of the last things that would be on that list. I'm pretty much a city boy from when I was little until now. But I will tell you that the experiences I've had at this place are probably among some of the very most special. And I remember a couple of years ago at a reunion that my family and I were here at with this congregation, that the Lord made known to me that, in fact, these are hallowed grounds when the saints are assembled here. And then even as he said to Moses, take your sandals off because you're standing on holy ground. Even so, he says to us, you walk on holy ground. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. This place is full, I think, for all of us of memories and special experiences. And as Brother Joe said, it truly is a gathering of our family. Whether by blood or by covenant, it is our family that gathers here and shares together. It's a blessing to watch my niece and nephew bring their offering up to their grandpa. And it's a blessing to be here with you and to share in the fellowship. And I'm also very happy to be here today because I have to tell you, when I saw the theme of this year's reunion, I was excited. Many, many years ago, I'm not even sure where I found it, but I found this little book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And for some reason, it piqued my interest, and I took it home and I read it, and I thought to myself, what a wonderful class or sermon this would be someday. And then I put it up on the shelf years and years ago. So this little book was written by a gentleman named Philip Keller. He was born in the year 1920 in East Africa. And he spent about, I think, 10 years of his life as a sheep farmer. He was also a scientist. He was trained in agriculture and agricultural sciences and went on to do other things in his career, but spent many years of his life as a shepherd, raising sheep. And the depth of understanding that he adds to the 23rd Psalm is really amazing, and it really can enrich, I think, the meaning of the psalm in our lives. And so I want to share with you today some of those insights, especially about our theme for today, and that is that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, I think we forget that the Bible was written in many cases by and to people who were very familiar with the themes and the parables and the analogies that were used. So all of us have grown up in a modern time with modern conveniences. Most of us probably, many of us, perhaps grew up in more of an urban than a agricultural environment. Yet the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, were written by many who were farmers or shepherds, or who lived a nomadic lifestyle. They lived a different lifestyle than we live today. And in fact, David, who wrote the Psalms, was a shepherd boy. And so when he wrote the 23rd Psalm and talked about the Lord as his shepherd, he did it from his knowledge of having been a shepherd. And I think the 23rd Psalm is so commonplace in our world and Christianity today that we probably all have in our mind our own images of what each of the expressions means. And in reality, it probably meant something different to David as he penned the words of the psalm. I believe that there is, I think, a lot that we can learn by understanding what David might have meant as he wrote each of the statements in what is perhaps one of the most often quoted passages of Scripture, with so much meaning to us in such a short number of verses. So we know that in the 23rd Psalm, that there is a parallel that David draws for us between the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep and his flock, and between Jesus, our shepherd, and our own selves. And it is that relationship, that parallel, that we're going to try to explore a little bit today. You know, the subtitle in our Bible describes the 23rd Psalm as an expression of confidence in God's grace. And that really is, I think, a good description of what the 23rd Psalm is. I'm also kind of excited because of the timing of this message. Many of you know that my family and I just got back from a vacation last month. And if we wanted to, I think we could probably call it our sheep trip. We got to visit several different countries. And almost every place we went had a lot of sheep. It wasn't something I'd really thought about before we left on the trip. We started in Iceland and we ended up in Scotland and Ireland and England. And everywhere we went, we had the opportunity in our different adventures to drive around the countryside. And in almost every day, I think, on our trip, we saw a lot of sheep. And it was a special time of year because it was the time when the baby lambs had just been born. And so throughout the countryside as we drove around, there were the ewes, the mamas, and their babies all over the country. And it created beautiful, beautiful scenery for us to observe. And it reminded me, I think, of the imagery that's probably connoted in your mind when you hear the phrases from the 23rd Psalm. When you hear a phrase like, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," you probably imagine, if you haven't been there and seen it yourself, you imagine the type of places that we visited. Beautiful green rolling hillsides of Ireland, dotted throughout with sheep, and them often lying down or at rest. And really did create beautiful scenery. And all my life, I think that's probably until I read this book, that's probably the meaning that I assigned to the statement, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," that our Lord provides for us a place where we can be fed, where we can be nurtured, like a shepherd does for his sheep in a beautiful green pasture. When we were in Iceland, we actually got to visit a sheep farm. And I'm going to come back to that at the end because I want to tell you something that we learned and that we experienced there. One of our guides, I think in Ireland, said that there were more sheep in their country than there were people. And it almost felt like after we traveled that we'd maybe seen a lot more sheep than we had seen people. So for a shepherd, getting his sheep to lie down in green pasture is much more than turning them loose into a pasture. So without knowing the details of a shepherd and how they care for their sheep, we wouldn't know the depth of what it means for sheep to lie down. But it turns out that sheep, unless they have four specific conditions met in their lives, will not lay down and rest. If any of the conditions aren't met, they are restless, they are irritated, and they spend their time trying to meet these conditions before they will lay down and rest. And if sheep don't lay down and rest, then they don't grow and mature and develop at the rate that they should. So the most important thing as the babies are born each year is for them to have the conditions that they will lay down, so that after they eat and are full, they will lay down and rest, because it's that rest time that allows their bodies to grow and mature. And if that doesn't happen, they aren't prepared at the time of the slaughter, which means they aren't fulfilling the end of their creation, the reason that they're being raised as sheep. So what are those four conditions? Well, first, because sheep are very timid, they won't lie down unless they're free from fear. Second, because of the nature of how they socialize and interact with each other, they won't lie down unless they're free from conflict, from friction with other sheep in their flock. Third, sheep are often tormented by pests, by flies. And if that condition occurs, they won't lay down. And finally, they won't lay down unless they are free from hunger, unless they have enough food to eat so they don't feel like they have to be out looking for more food. So a simple statement like, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," might sound just like a beautiful scenery to us, means a whole lot more to an actual shepherd, which is what David would have meant when he penned the words. So I want to take just a minute and talk about each of those conditions in the sheep's lives and how the shepherd meets those needs, and compare that to how the Lord himself meets those needs in our very own lives. So free from fear. I didn't really know this, but sheep are very timid. So timid, in fact, that any little thing will scare them. And they are basically defenseless, if you think about it. So their only reaction when they are afraid or startled by something is to run. And in his book, Mr. Keller talks about how the simple, unexpected hop of a jackrabbit could send 200 sheep charging across to the other side of his pasture because something startled one of them. And when one reacts, they all react, because they have no other defense mechanism but to flee. And we observed this a little bit in our travels as we drove around. There were many places as we would drive in kind of the countryside and in uninhabited areas where the sheep would seemingly be roaming free, and I know somehow they knew whose sheep were whose. And the mothers, the ewes, were obviously accustomed to the cars and the traffic from the roads and didn't react, but the babies were not. And so as we would approach, the babies would start to cry and run. And so we would observe that behavior, that they were not... They were very timid. They were very afraid. Well, the one thing for a sheep that settles them is the presence of their shepherd. Mr. Keller talks about spending many nights out in his pasture with his sheep and his sheepdog companion. When there were threatening animals, perhaps, in the countryside, or when there were rustlers who might steal the sheep, the only way that he could get his sheep to calm down and to rest would be to be physically present with them. You know, when you think about our own lives and the world that we live in, it becomes easy for us to be paralyzed by fear. When we're faced with situations where we're not sure what to do, where we're not sure what direction to take, when we are faced with unknowns, when we are afraid or anxious or irritated about situations, we can oftentimes allow fear to enter in. Nothing is scarier than being in a dark room alone and hearing a strange noise. Do you know that feeling, that feeling of panic, where you're not even sure you can move and you're not sure what to do? That happens, I think, in our lives when we allow our fear to overcome us. And instead, the Lord has told us that he doesn't want us to live by fear, that he gives us his spirit, his power, to overcome that fear. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, we read these words: "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us ever to be paralyzed by fear. But his spirit is that which dwells with us and takes that fear from our lives. Do you ever feel the urge to just run away from your life because things get tough? Sometimes there's just so much on your plate, you think, I just want to run away. I just want to dig a hole and climb in it and get away from all of this. Like the sheep, though, we are comforted when our Maker is near. God does not want us to be paralyzed with fear. He gives us instead the power of a sound mind. All right, free from conflict. So sheep, and again, I would have no idea that this existed, but they have what we might call a pecking order with chickens. They have a budding order. The older, more mature ewes claim for themselves the best grazing pasture, or the best spot, or the choicest food. And if an older ewe comes across a younger one who is in a better spot, she will approach and lift her head and arch her neck, and that's the symbol that the younger one better get out of the way and yield to the older. And if she doesn't, then she will be head-butted into submission. And so shepherds call that the butting order for the sheep. And that behavior goes on and happens, and it causes the sheep to be, it causes them to be uneasy and edgy and uncomfortable. And Mr. Keller accounts that the only time he could get that behavior to stop, too, was when he would appear in the pasture with the sheep. That just his presence, knowing that the sheep had observed many times that they would be disciplined for that behavior, his presence with the sheep would cause that behavior to stop. And when the sheep were uneasy and on edge, they wouldn't lie down. And so they wouldn't get the rest that they needed to grow and develop and mature. So that behavior, I think, is really interesting, and I think we can find easy parallels to our lives and how we interact with the world around us. As we struggle to find our own place in the world, as we try to keep up with our neighbors, as we try to assert ourselves and to gain recognition from the world, so many times that leads to conflict between people. We too can become edgy and uncomfortable. But when we have the Spirit of the Lord in our lives, we instead can be at peace. You know, all those things that we do that create that environment of competition, or whatever, however you want to describe it, trying to get ahead in life, trying to get ahead in the world. Those are all to reach some type of acceptance from the society, from the world around us. And yet Jesus, in so many different ways in his ministry, made it very clear to us that standing in this world, in this society, is not what matters. He came to this earth to the humblest of families, to a carpenter. He entered into his ministry, and so many times he reached out to those who were the outcasts of society. He reached out to the sinners and the sick and the lame and the blind. He reached out to those who weren't even allowed to dwell with their fellow human beings in society. And those were the lives that he touched. And he taught us that when his kingdom comes, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And there can be many meanings to that statement, but I do believe that he was telling us that if our standing is in the world, if our goal is to be first, that we will be last when his kingdom comes. And so if we can allow the Spirit of the Lord to dwell with us, even as the shepherd dwelling with his sheep, we can let that strife and jealousy that drives so many bad behaviors among men fall away. And we can be content in whatever situation we find ourselves. The Apostle Paul, despite all the trials and tribulations that he endured, he wrote, "I find myself content in whatever situation I'm in because of the blessings of the Lord." Free from pests. We can relate to that one, even as we've seen the wasps flying around here this morning. In the summertime especially, sheep are susceptible to flies. And there's a certain type of fly called nasal flies that are attracted to the moist surface of sheep's noses. And if those flies are not cared for, and those flies are allowed to take residence on the sheep, it creates a miserable existence for the sheep. And not just the nasal flies, but other pests that are attracted to the sheep as well. And when they are tormented by those insects, they find themselves itchy and uncomfortable. And so that you'll see them stomping their feet, trying to get the flies away, or shaking their head, or running to find brush or things to rub up against, to relieve themselves of this terrible burden. And so it is only, they only are relieved of those infestations, of those burdens, by their shepherds. And it takes extra special care from the shepherd to avoid that situation. So there is, I guess, a solution of certain types of oils mixed with tar that can be placed on the sheep's nose and part of their face, for example, to prevent the nasal flies. And it has to be applied multiple times during the season. And it requires then the shepherd to be very careful and to have regular oversight and know what's happening with his flock in order to take care of this situation. There's another condition called scabs, which comes from another insect that can cause a condition for sheep. And when they talked about lambs being without blemish, it meant ones that didn't have scabs. And sometimes the shepherds had to completely submerge the sheep in a solution to get rid of those insects that caused the scabs. Now, in David's time, there wasn't this solution of tar and oil, but there was a solution of olive oil mixed with different herbs and spices that was applied to the sheep to help them with these pests. And what a beautiful similitude that provides for us when we think about the oil as a symbol of the Holy Ghost in our lives. When we have things in our lives that bug us, when we have situations that annoy us, when we have things in our life that cause us discomfort, we can pray to the Lord and ask that His Holy Spirit be applied to our lives, and we can find relief. And how amazing is it to think about that connection between a shepherd anointing his sheep with oil to protect them and to cure them, and today the ordinance of administration that we enjoy. Later in the psalm, when David writes, "Thou anointest my head with oil," how much richer is our understanding of that statement when we understand what it meant for the shepherd to anoint his sheep with oil. And so we have those wonderful opportunities for blessings in our own lives when we have things that make us sick or bring us down or annoy us. We too can ask literally for the anointing of the oil and for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we know it symbolizes. Okay, finally, the sheep have to be free from hunger in order to be able to lie down and rest. Now, many countries in the world, this wasn't the case in some of the ones that we saw, but in many countries of the world where sheep flourish, the environment is actually dry and arid and not given to naturally occurring green pastures with enough food for the sheep. And that would have been the case in David's time. So for David to have given his sheep a green pasture to lie down in would have implied a lot of work on his part to clear the land, to plant the seed and water, to cultivate the grass and the legumes that they grew to feed the sheep. Because only when the sheep had enough to eat that they were filled and didn't have to worry about finding more food would they lay down and rest, and that therefore allow themselves to grow and mature. So if they didn't have enough green pasture, so to speak, they'd be always wandering, seeking more food, always trying to find the next place with food, and never let themselves stop and rest. And there are many parallels we can draw in our own lives as we think about that. We spend so much of our time seeking food in the world, and it leaves us still wanting for more, still unable to lay down and rest, instead of seeking for God's green pasture that provides us the spiritual food that we need. When God led the Israelites out of captivity, He led them through the wilderness, and He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. So that to us is a description of a land of paradise, right? A land where their needs will be met. To a farmer, that had a very specific meaning, because if a land had milk and honey, there were specific terms that the farmers used to talk about the milk flow and the honey flow. If a land was flourishing and had enough food for the animals would be able to produce milk, and there would be enough greenery and vegetation for the bees to produce honey. And so a land flowing with milk and honey literally meant a rich, lush environment where vegetation flourished and where the animals flourished. And so for us, despite perhaps our wandering, looking for food in the world, we find ourselves called to that same opportunity to live our lives so that when God provides his kingdom again, that land flowing with milk and honey, that we can come in and be filled. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures is a very simple statement. And it probably conjures up for us some beautiful imagery. And yet there's a lot more to it when we really understand the context from a true shepherd, which David was. And it gives us a beautiful vision of the life that you and I can enjoy if we are members of the Good Shepherd's flock. The ability to lie down in green pasture. God is willing to meet all of our needs so that we truly can come unto him and rest if we are part of his flock. So I told you that I was going to come back to our visit to a sheep farm in Iceland. We went on a tour of a more remote part of Iceland, not a big city, and on a tour of some waterfalls and some beautiful scenery. And the tour guide that they had hired for the group for that day happened to own a lot of the land in the area that we were visiting, and they are sheep farmers. And because it was the time of year when the babies had just been born, there was a lot of activity at the farm, and so he gave us the opportunity to stop at the farm and go in and see the sheep. And one of the things that we all noticed right away is that the sheep, the big ones, the mothers, and the babies, were all spray painted, I assume it was spray paint, with really bright fluorescent colors, stripes on their back. And those colors were used to identify which babies belonged to which mother, because even though the sheep knew which babies were theirs, the people don't. And we also noticed that all the babies had a red splotch by one of their ears. And the guide explained to us that that red splotch on their ears was actually blood. That when the sheep are babies, each one has to be marked with the symbol of the shepherd or the owner. And Mr. Keller in his book describes that and remembers it being one of the most painful experiences of his life when he got his first flock of baby lambs. So the lamb's ear is placed on a piece of wood and held down, and the shepherd takes a knife and cuts a pattern into the ear of the baby lamb. That pattern makes the lamb identifiable to the owner. So it's a unique symbol, and each shepherd has one of their own, so that the babies can be told apart in terms of who belongs to which shepherd. In other words, who belongs in which flock. There's an interesting, very similar pattern that the ancient Hebrews observed when a servant who was attached to a household would, of his own free will, determine that he wanted to be a servant in that household for his life. They had a procedure where they actually would put the earlobe of the servant up on the entryway of the house and punch a hole in his ear with the pattern as a symbol that he belonged to that household. And so I would ask you to think for a minute about the meaning of that mark on the ear of the lambs. Because I think so it is with Jesus Christ, our shepherd, and each one of us. In a very real way, Jesus had to sacrifice and endure a pain that we cannot imagine to become the shepherd of his flock. When he took on the weight of the sin of the world and literally was pierced for our transgressions, he created the new covenant. He created, if you will, the pasture that he invites each of us into. And you and I, unlike the little baby lambs, we aren't required to sacrifice by blood. But we are required to take the mark of our shepherd upon us, just as the baby lambs were. Because he asks us if we are truly going to follow him, if we are willing to put aside our own selves and to take up our cross and follow him. The cross is the mark of our shepherd. He only asks us to bring to him the sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And so I would ask you today, if you have the mark of the Savior in your life, have you truly brought him your heart? The very first line in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Is he your shepherd? Many in this world will say with their lips that they acknowledge him, that the Lord is their shepherd. And yet we know that at the end, that only those whose hearts are right with him will truly be allowed to lie down in his green pasture. And so my challenge for each of us today is to examine ourselves, to think about our own lives. Are we a people at rest? Are we lying down in the green pasture of the Lord? Have we allowed his Spirit to work in our lives in such a way that we are free from all the things that would distract us, that would keep us from the ability to truly rest in him? And I would ask you to think about your own heart. Is the mark that's carved in your ear, so to speak, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so I would ask you truly if you can say today, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'd like to leave you with a few words from the book of Alma, chapter 3, beginning in verse 63. "And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, by the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye?" In verse 105. "And now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you, and if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep.